The rather long gospel we have just read from Luke's gospel is in many ways a mysterious narrative. What happened? This was the beginning of Christ's public ministry, and as you would expect, he would come back to his hometown of Nazareth and preach in the synagogue. As he opened the scroll where the passage from Isaiah about the forthcoming Messiah, that he would come especially to preach the good news to the poor, then Christ closed the scroll and said, "Ladies and gentlemen, what you've just heard means the fulfillment of this prophecy. No one missed what he said. The Messiah foretold by Isaiah is in front of you. And marvelously, the people were very pleased. We are told they applauded." Well, if that all had happened, we'd still have a gospel, but not the present one. Then Christ went on to say, "You will tell me, physician, heal yourself. We've heard about miracles you've worked in other towns, like Capernaum. How about working a few here? After all, we are your neighbors, your friends, and your companions from childhood." But he explained, "I am afraid I won't be able to work any miracles here." I hate to say it, but though you are my companions from childhood, I was brought up among you. You are not disposed to what I have to teach. And then, just the opposite. Took about 2 minutes to pass from the passage where Christ is said to have been applauded to the passage in the same gospel where Christ is said to have aroused the fury of the synagogue. They took hold of him, dragged him to the highest hill they had at Nazareth, and were ready to throw him down. But he managed to escape. He had to escape. There was more to the gospel. His mission wasn't finished. What a lesson. It's the whole contrast between Palm Sunday and Good Friday. And it started from the very beginning. Christ was received, surely by Mary and Joseph, at his birth in Bethlehem, with open arms. We are told the shepherds came to see him and were thrilled at what they saw. But about the same time, there were others, as we are told, that sought the life of the child. acceptance and rejection. From the moment of birth to the day of his crucifixion, halted twice steps all the way. It might be then worth asking ourselves, what lesson does this teach us? It tells us that when Christ came into the world, there were certain kinds of people that received him, followed him, became his ardent disciples. And certain other people, the same Jesus, certain other people would have none of him, or as in the case of the synagogue, it was the same crowd, on again, off again. There are many lessons this most important gospel teaches us, but I would say none more clearly than to make sure that, unlike his own fellow townsmen in Nazareth, we recognize not a Messiah or a Christ of our dreams or expectations, but the real Christ, for many people who call themselves Christians, and I'd have to add Catholics, indeed priests and religious. They don't oppose Christ. They accept him. You listen to what they have to say, and oh, how beautiful this sounds. But what have they done? They've conjured up a Christ of their own. And I think the most subtle and dangerous mentality that we have got to be aware and beware of, that is, that there are people in Christ's day, as in ours, people who will claim to accept Christ, but only on their terms. What kind of a Christ do so many people want? Nominal Christians. Otherwise, how explain the chaos in the Catholic Church today? What so many people want, and what Christ's contemporaries at Nazareth wanted, was a comfortable Christ, an intelligible Christ, an easygoing Christ. A non-demanding Christ. And that's why, let's look for just a moment. As you know, the readings in our message are carefully chosen so that the first reading corresponds to the gospel. Here's Paul, we read it, and might have escaped us. Here's what Paul says. During my stay with you, the only knowledge I claimed to have was about Jesus, and only about Him as the crucified Christ. Oh, Paul. You learned a lot from the time that Christ spoke to the unfriendly congregation at the synagogue. What made them unfriendly? Because he was proclaiming himself as the Messiah? Not really. Because he claimed to be the Messiah, but a Messiah who commands, a Messiah who demands, a Messiah you cannot comprehend. In a word, the true Christ and Messiah means Christ. The true Christ is the Christ of mystery and the Christ of the cross. Once we realize that, a lot of things become very plain. By now, the church has been plagued with heresy from the first century. It's my business to teach, of course, Catholic truth, and by contrast, it's the blackboard on which I write with white chalk. The blackboard is the heresy. The chalk is Christ's truth and becomes plain in contrast with the black. There has never been a heresy that proclaimed a Christ who demands more than the Gospels require. Heresy has yet to preach a Christ who is more understandable, easier to grasp with the mind, than the Christ about whom we read in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Every heresy from the ancients, with all kinds of unpronounceable names, I felt so good when in high school we were learning about the Monothelites and we were asked to write about Monophysitism. I'd heard about that from my pastor back home when I was in grammar school. Every heresy waters down Christ. Every heresy preaches an easy Christ, a worldly Christ, a Christ you can live with comfortably. That's the real essence of the gospel we have read. Christ told his own fellow townsmen that from all reports, most of Nazareth could squeeze into that one synagogue. There weren't many in the town. But he explained, just as your forefathers rejected the prophets, for preaching and demanding Yahweh? So you're going to reject me. And lacking the humility to admit they're being laden in sin and needing conversion, what are they doing? They proceeded to hustle Christ out of the synagogue, trying to kill the converter. People who don't want to be converted from sin hate everyone who even reminds them of their sinful state. Let's ask our Savior, because this is not an easy thing, I don't say to grasp, but to live up to make us unlike those people in the synagogue, make us aware of our failings, weakness, beat our breast and say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Then you are really talking like a Christian. The most sacred name in our vocabulary is the name Jesus. And Jesus means Savior. But I've got to be convinced that I've got something to be saved from. In other words, I must acknowledge my need of help. And then the Savior will mean what he should mean to me, the one except for whom I could not cope with my pride and lust and envy and greed. Jesus, you came into the world to save sinners. Help me to realize how much and how constantly I need you. Lord, I admit it. I'm a sinner. Have mercy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.